Well, good day, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and you gators and grannies, to this Sunday afternoon edition of The Big Puzzle. My name is Barry Prince, and I'm coming to you live from my kitchen here in northern British Columbia, broadcasting to the facilities of People's Internet Radio, and normally being simulcast on Shake and Wake, but unfortunately, Annie can't be here today. Thanks for joining the show, and we are viewer-supported stations, guys, so if you like what's going on and you like the content that's being presented, please reach into your pocket, throw a few bucks into the kitty. I know they could really appreciate it. Before I get started with my two guests here, first thing I'd like to do is just share my thoughts with all the people on the West Coast or the East Coast of the United States, from the Bahamas all the way up to Halifax, that actually got hammered last night by this hurricane. The levels of destruction are almost unprecedented. It was a terrible storm. So my thoughts are with all the people that have been affected by that. A lot of people lost their lives and billions of dollars in damage. Anyways, I am joined by two of the strategists and part of the founding members of the PPC party in Canada here today. I'm joined by Vinny Mio and Cameron McKay. And I'd like to let them have a say on why they first off got involved with the PPC and a little bit about their background. Why don't you start, Vinny, and then let Cameron have something to say for a few minutes.
Sure. Thanks for having me on the show, Barry. I really appreciate it. I just want to make a slight correction. I'm not an official party strategist. We're more independent strategists. We're founding members of the party. I was a regional organizer last year, and I helped establish 13 EDAs across the Greater Toronto Area. And I'm also an admin of a number of different Facebook pages and groups. And Cameron is one of the people that's on a team that we put together, a small team, but we do work alongside the party. We follow Maxine's Twitter feed and see what he's doing, and we try and support that.
Okay, I stand corrected. Cameron, a little bit about yourself.
Well, like Vinny, I'm a founding member of the People's Party. I'm not an official strategist for them, although I have some input indirectly with some of the tactics that they employ. But I work closely with Vinny and another group of people, and we basically represent the grassroots people and sort of collaterally put forward our ideas, and many of them are accepted by the party. And so we basically focus on developing the grassroots portion of it and countering the belief that somehow Maxime Bernier is working solely on his own.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the one thing about the PPC party that's really caught my attention, is the fact that everybody's having an input and it's being listened to by all members of the party. And we're seeing a wide variety of people all across sections of our society getting involved in this party. One of the things I've noticed here in the last week is the amount of attention that's actually starting to be paid to this party. And I see an incredible rise in attention. And I'm sure you guys are seeing the same thing, because my social media pages tell me that people are actually starting to listen to what's being said. I've looked at some independent polls, and boy, I'll tell you, it's pretty encouraging what I see. I think we're going to see a pretty amazing thing happen in Canada, gentlemen, is what I think. Because we as Canadians are peed. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, Barry. I've noticed myself in the groups that I manage, the amount of activity and traffic that we're getting, it's very, very encouraging. Yeah, it's an amazing thing to be a part of right from the start, and to watch it develop as it has, and it's only been a year, is great. I think it's fantastic, and I hope that it continues. I'm pretty sure it will.
Well, the harder the media push back against this party, the more people are becoming interested. And we know how much it's being quashed, how much information is not being put forward. All I say to people is you got to take half an hour of your time and go look at the platform of the party and see what they're actually saying. One of the things that really drew me to this party is the level of intelligence of the people that are getting involved. And that really speaks volume to me. You know, people like Frank Vaughan and Billy Joyce and Laura Lynn Thompson and all the other really intelligent, what I classify as very intelligent people, getting involved. And then, of course, gentlemen like yourself.
Well, one thing that I've learned over the years, and I consider myself a newbie at all of this, is that I've learned to seek out people that are far smarter than I am. I ask questions and I listen, and hopefully I learn. And you know, people like Cameron is one of those people that I sought as soon as I started seeing him commenting on one of the groups that I created, and I thought to myself, my goodness, I got to give this guy a platform. The wisdom is an important thing to share.
Absolutely. You're in the greater Toronto area, correct, Vinny?
Yeah, I'm actually on the west part of Toronto, a town called Mississauga.
Well, you know, I was born and raised in Toronto. Okay. I lived there for 18 years of my life, and I left. And I go back to Toronto now, and it just absolutely astounds me the changes in my society and my culture in Toronto. I grew up in a city that was safe, and now I don't feel safe in the city of Toronto. So I'd get out of there.
Well, that's, yeah. I mean,
Just kidding. Again, home is where the heart is, but what a crazy place it's become.
It is absolutely a crazy place. I work right downtown, and I see the madness every day. And I've seen it deteriorate over the last several years, over the last, even the last 10 years. I don't think it's a good place to be anymore, right? And it's sad because this is where I've laid down roots and this is where I've raised a family. And it's very, very disheartening to see what's happened to not just Toronto, but most of the urban centers in Canada, I find, have more in common with each other than they do with their own surrounding communities.
I agree. Absolutely. And if you think that's just a coincidence, folks, you've got your head in the sand. Mm-hmm. Because it's an orchestrated agenda. And I know the gentleman sitting with me here right now totally understand that. Yeah. And I'm sure the listeners do, too, because we're seeing the same agenda being played out all over this planet. Doesn't matter what country you look at, you see the exact same agenda being played out with a slightly different face. Cameron, what do you think? Are you living in Toronto, too, also, Cameron?
No, I come from Alberta, so we help pay for Toronto.
Okay, I thought both you guys were in Toronto. Well, we're seeing the same thing in Alberta. Take a look at Edmonton, man. What a nut place.
Well, people have to get their heads out of the sand. They have to start looking at what is happening in Europe. And it's clear now that the establishment in Europe on this immigration issue made a catastrophic mistake. You cannot just bring in these numbers of people who have completely different value systems and ideas and structures than what your host country does and not expect that you're going to have conflict. And if we don't recognize that in Canada, then we're going to have to repeat the history of what is occurring now in Europe.
Frightening thought. That's an absolutely frightening thought.
It is. Well, you know, we're talking to a European audience right now, so I'm sure they're fairly aware of what's going on over there. But a lot of people in North America, unfortunately, our Communist Broadcasting Corporation and other mainstream outlets aren't providing real information of what's going on in Europe right now to the Canadian public, because of course it's an exposure of what's going to come to Canada here in the very near future. We're following the exact same agenda that happened there, and Europe right now, folks, is on the verge of civil war.
It's, you know, what's really interesting is countries like Hungary have become a beacon to Western Europeans for protecting the European culture, even though it's varied with so many countries. I believe it was the Dalai Lama just a few years ago said Europe is for Europeans, you know, and the fact that it's become what it is today is very unsettling and you know, I don't think it's going to happen in Canada. It's already happening. It's already happening.
Yes, it is, but not to the degree that we see it happening in Europe, where you have no-go zones set up all over the city of London now, yep. Where you're endangering your life walking into these zones. Well, that's going to come very – there's enclaves being set up in Canada right now. We know that, yep. And pretty soon there will be no-go zones in Canada. Is that going to wake the Canadian people up? I mean, if they're not awake by now, I don't know what it'll take.
I think you need to reach a critical mass of victimhood, of real victimhood, because you know that the media in this country, and most of it is centralized in Toronto, and that's the problem. I mean, I've been working in media for over three decades, and I've seen it happen, and it's a bad thing for this country to have the overwhelming majority of the media industry out of one city. And that's why you see the bias that we see, not just in television, but in newsprint as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's not healthy for our democracy when you have, as you mentioned, you know, the state broadcaster, I like to call them. And I know that bothers them. But it's really what they are. They're a state broadcaster. And they have an agenda that they're pushing, and it's not a good agenda for this country, for Canadians.
Well, they're committing acts of treason against the Canadian people on national TV and radio every day of the week.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're not providing this information to Canadians. It's a shame that a lot of Canadians still go to CBC and Global and CTV to get their information, but we see a change in that coming now. I'm looking at the ratings and watching the ratings over the last couple of years, and we're starting to see a pull away from mainstream because people are tired of the bull.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, and this is why there's such an attempt to silence the alternative media. People like yourself, people like Billy Joyce, all the people that have shows on YouTube and on internet radio. There's an attempt to silence them because they know that it's taking away from their audience, and rightly so. I don't think they deserve the audience that they have now.
Well, go ahead, Cameron.
See, I don't think, and I agree 100% with Vinny as to what people like yourself are contributing in terms of avoiding all of this censorship that's going on. I don't think they have an answer. When you ask them, how do you deal with the fact that there's a direct clash of cultural values? You cannot put together the idea that you have gender equality with the ideas of a patriarchal society that exists in the Middle East. You just cannot put those two things together. And I don't think PC and all these mainstream media, and I include the National Post in this, have an answer to that. They don't want to confront this reality. And so I see, Barry, that you have a vital role to play here by educating people about this clash of cultures, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we see the effect on that in Europe right now. You know, you cannot bring people into your society that have no intention of assimilating to your culture, have no intention of following your laws, and that's what we see going on. And, of course, now we see the end result of that. Europe is just 10 years ahead of us or 5 years ahead of us. They're ahead of us by how many years, I can't say. Sure, but, you know, 5 to 10 years ahead of us. So if we don't stop this going on in Canada, we could put the brakes on now, and we might be able to stop the catastrophe that's coming. But if we continue to let it go on, we're going to lose our country, period.
Well, we have to counter this argument that a message like the one you've just given is somehow racist, right? It's not racist. You're talking about Canadian values that you're trying to preserve, and you're asking people if they come here to adopt those Canadian values, and it's got nothing to do with their skin color or their ethnicity. And it gets extremely frustrating to listen to this mainstream media try and pawn this off as racism.
I have a question for the two of you, if I may. And I've asked this question to many people, and I've never gotten a satisfactory answer. When did patriotism become synonymous with racism in the country? I don't understand. I don't understand how it happened or even when it
happened. Oh, the tool of political correctness has been implemented in our society. And if you really look at how it's all going down, it's little bits and pieces changing people's reality of reality. And that's what we find ourselves today. We find ourselves with a general public that is so dumbed down. It amazes me. It really does. It baffles me. I don't know what the solution is, but I know that the most important thing we can do right now is focus on the millennials, focus on our youth, and try to get them to understand that what they're being indoctrinated with in the system is nothing but a lie. You know, we have a monumental task right now with deprogramming our youth. But those are the ones I think we need to reach first. And I see that actually happening now in Canada, young people getting involved and seeing through the smoke and mirrors. Go ahead, guys.
So, Barry, you see a shift in the millennial generation away from that, you know, the accepted status quo that is today?
Yeah, you know, I every time I go into public now, and this is something I've been doing for 2 years now, I wear, of course, my Trudeau for Prison t-shirt. I've actually got a new one made up. I got two of them made up for 2019. And on the back, I've got a picture of a figure that looks very much like Justin Trudeau hanging from a rope. And it simply states that traitors should be hung, because this man has perpetrated so many acts of treason against this country. The list is absolutely mind-boggling. And every time I go into public, I make sure that the young people see this. And you know what? Most of them want to interact with me now. They want to have something to say. And the first thing that usually comes out of their mouth is that the man is a traitor, that he's treasonous. So I see the young people starting to pay attention, which is good, which is good.
I would concur with that. When I was in the process of establishing the EDAs, the meetings that I held, I was surprised to see how many young people came out, how many people were engaged in the process. And these were very motivated young people. The tide is turning. The young people are starting to pay attention, because it's their future that is being stolen from them. You know, and it's one thing that I tell, my own kids who are now in their 20s is, you know, I'm doing this for you guys. I mean, my future is for the most part set. Your dad's done pretty good for himself, but I'm fighting for you guys, right? And that's one thing that I tell all the young people that I have to deal with on a daily basis in my profession, is that you guys need to start paying closer attention to what's going on. You know, turning on the TV and watching Big Brother or, some other, useless kind of programming. It's time to get involved. It's time to get engaged. But it is. It's very encouraging to see how many young people are now starting to pay attention.
Barry.
Yes, sir.
Are these younger people that you're encountering, do they have a sense of national pride and nationalism? Do you sense that in them?
I don't know if I sense that. I sense more of the young people actually starting to pay attention to what the government is actually doing, the fundamental purposes of some of the things this government is doing. And if you look at it from any kind of a rational point of view, you come up with a conclusion that there is absolutely nothing that this government has done beneficial for Canada since it took power 4 years ago. And it's not this government, of course. It's the preceding governments all laid down the groundwork for what we're seeing right now, but we're seeing it being amped up at light speed. And a lot of them are starting to ask questions, whether it's out of national pride or just concern for their very future, because their futures right now are at jeopardy. We know that. We know that right now, how many years is it going to take off just to pay off the debt that Justin Trudeau has incurred on this country in the last 4 years? I mean, they've gone up 10% in government spending in the first 4 months of this year alone. Catherine McKenna just gave away another $223.5 million of our money to the Caribbean to fight climate change. And we're building roads in Jordan for the Jordanian army with our money. This country is absolutely being bankrupt by this government, and they're starting to pay attention. And they're seeing. I bring these points up. It's one of the things I try and stress to them is actually what this country is doing, or I ask them, what can you tell me? First question I'll put forward to him is, what benefit has Justin Trudeau done for this country since he's taken power? And I put that question to him. I go, look, point me out something that he has done. And I can't find anything myself. And, of course, they can't find anything themselves. It kind of opens a conversation. But I do make a point of talking to millennials all the time, because really if we can get them to understand the danger that they're in right now and what kind of a future they're looking at, and this ain't a movie, this is reality, then they want to get involved. I see that. So it's encouraging.
It explains why Trudeau was so aggressive at pursuing the legalization of marijuana, right? To distract important policies that he was implementing that was going to really affect their ability to have a prosperous future. You know? I don't see another reason to legalize. To legalize that, especially the way it was rushed in.
What a scam, eh? The one promise he made during his election platform, he kept. And now you look at the laws that have come in with the legalization of cannabis. They're barbaric. That we're looking at 47 laws now that can put you in jail in Canada, as opposed to 7 prior to the legalization. And we see a complete control conglomerate forming in the government. Where that, if you acquire your cannabis now illegally and you have a bag on you and it doesn't have a government seal on it saying you paid your taxes and you can't prove you didn't grow it, you can go to, you're looking at serious, serious fines and jail time. I mean, some of the stuff that come up is just absolutely barbaric. And people go, wow, great. You know, everybody going, yeah, he's going to legalize cannabis. Well, all you got to say to yourself is, has anything that the government ever touched turned out good? It all turns to poop. And the exact same thing happened with this. Go ahead.
Not to mention the presumption of guilt now over innocence with new impaired driving laws that none other than Jody Wilson-Raybould, you know, instituted.
Oh, I know. And it's like the police are now the judge, jury, and executioner on the side of the road.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just another massive step towards a complete police state, conditioning the masses to accept this new crap. Go ahead. Excuse my language. It's amazing how sheep will get dumbed down and accept this kind of stuff. Go ahead.
Barry, this is what happens when we stop inculcating the common core Canadian values that we have. I'm wondering whether, you know, as a retired lawyer, I'm wondering how many of these young people recognize the importance of some of these major principles in criminal law, like presumption of innocence and proving matters beyond reasonable doubt, because they seem to sit back and accept Trudeau pulling these stunts with complete disregard for their own safety. You know?
Cameron, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead, Vinny.
Cameron, would you say that that's a scathing indictment on our current education system in not educating our youth about the importance of some of these fundamental democratic principles?
Well, exactly. And it's not just the rule of law. It's these ideas that we have that we've developed about tolerance, these ideas that we've had that we have free and open elections. All this stuff is advanced ideas from the Enlightenment. And all this nonsense that is going on now is anti-Enlightenment.
It almost seems as if we're moving towards another Dark Ages.
Yeah, disguised as the Light Ages.
Well, anytime anybody is willing to believe that 0.04 of CO2 emitted by humans into the atmosphere is going to change the solar system, then you have to recognize that we're moving back into the Middle Ages and witchcraft.
Yeah. Well, if you look at the whole global warming scam, man, where it's coming from and who's perpetrating it, and if people can't see through the smoke and mirrors, they're just not looking. Because we look at events that have happened on this planet over this last 150, 250, 750 million years ago. We had a period on this Earth where the Earth was so hot that the water around the equator or the water in the North Pole heated up to 0 degrees. You know, everything I believe happening to our planet is, of course, affected by the sun and our solar cycles. But they don't want to talk about that. NASA just put out a massive report about that. And, of course, I posted that up on Facebook, and immediately Facebook posted 2 debunking issues about it.
I've had the same
because they don't want people to know the truth. Go ahead.
I've had the same situation happen to me. I've been posting Bernie has been posting some stuff on his Twitter feed, and I've been sharing it on Facebook, and right away I get hoax alerts. Yep. And I reread these articles, and I'm thinking, listen, I'm not a climate scientist, but I'm not an idiot either. And to me, this stuff reads pretty factual. I mean, we had a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, we had that climate scientist out of an American university. I forget which one now. I think it was Utah, Michael Mann, who lost a settlement in one of the BC courts because of fraudulent data in his conclusions on climate science. And yet, that hardly gets any attention from the mainstream media. It's not part of the narrative they want to, have out there. It's absolutely frustrating. Yeah.
It is very frustrating.
Yeah. I mean, I know, Cameron, you and I have discussed this quite a bit. The situation between Michael Mann and Timothy Ball, Professor Ball.
Well, yes. If the media had done their job, that whole scam by man was disclosed way back many years ago during ClimateGate, right? And they hid that under the table. Now what's happened to Michael Mann is very simple. In the he sued Timothy Ball. And, of course, the rules are very established that you have to disclose what evidence you have on your side. I have to disclose my evidence. You get an opportunity to examine me for discovery, and I get the reciprocal advantage. And, of course, in Michael Mann's case, he did not want his algorithm to come out on the table because, of course, they previously have been proven by experts from Ontario that they're a scam. And so, of course, his case collapsed. Basically, he was held in contempt of court. He could not produce the documentation to allow Timothy Ball to provide a full and complete defense. So, but that should be in the news if he ever puts it in there.
And yet, because he had a catchy name for his theory, the hockey stick theory, Canadians just laughed it up.
Well, they laughed it up, but the big fault was is when it was disclosed as being inaccurate and fraudulent, the media never carried the story the way it should.
Well, they never do. If it doesn't fit the agenda, it is brushed under the rug. You can't get any information out of the mainstream. We got to make people aware of that. I'm sure most people are. That, you know, if you want any kind of information, you have to do independent research yourself. And when you do, you'll find the truth. But boy, mainstream, they should be shot for what they're doing right now to the public. This whole climate, what are we hearing now? Climate emergency, climate emergency. Everybody's screaming it. We're hearing it on mainstream. It's being put out by the actors in Hollywood that we're in an emergency situation, that we have to make radical changes. And then you have the Democrats come up with their 8-hour marathon, save the planet. Unbelievable ideas, man. And I look at this and I go, people are actually listening to these ideas? Have we gotten to a point in society where people can't do any kind of critical thinking themselves and they're looking and listening to these solutions coming up from these lunatics? It really speaks volumes where we are. Go ahead.
I think if we really want to control global warming, we should silence the Democrats because they're full of hot air. That's all they have.
Yeah, there's no fact to what they say. And good thing is that people are actually starting to do their own research. And the more they do, of course, we see the mainstream media in the United States of America's ratings at all-time lows, that they continue to plummet.
Yep.
They were bad a couple years ago, and they're worse now. So people are going to alternatives. And, of course, the more we see that, the more we see people getting involved in actually having their words heard. So we do see a shift coming. It's got to come real quick, though. It really does.
It has to.
Up against lunatics.
Yeah, it certainly has to, because our current government right now is working very hard at shutting down that alternative media, at controlling it.
Well, that Bill one, let's talk about Bill 1, M103, man. I mean, whatever happened in Canada when we'd even consider legislation like this? And now I believe it's close to being law.
Well, the motion itself came with recommendations for legislation. I remember attending an event a couple of years ago in Brampton called Muslims Against M103, and one of the key speakers was Tariq Fatah, a journalist and reporter for the Toronto Sun, and he was pretty frank about the problems with this kind of emotion and what it's going to produce. And sure enough, we see it happening.
Yep.
And I got to tell you, that event, by the way, that I attended was at a banquet hall. It was very well attended. And it was, I would estimate, between 500 and 600 people attended. And not a single word of it anywhere in the media. Not even in the local media. Very, very disappointing.
Yep. But we can't expect any kind of coverage on mainstream. We're not going to get any of that coming up to this election coming up in Canada. But the more they push back, like I said, the more people are starting to really ask questions. And that's a good thing. Kind of shooting themselves in the foot right now, as far as I can see.
Well, on that point, Barry, how much growth are you experiencing in your project here?
What do you mean? In audiences or people that are actually starting to pay attention to what's being said by the PPC or my audience itself?
Your audience itself. How is it growing?
I don't know. I don't know how many people are listening right now. I know I get quite a few people tuning in, but I don't know what my numbers are or anything like that. I've been doing radio for about 6 years now. I just enjoy getting on here and sharing conversations with guys like you, and it it's been a very, very good experience for me.
Well, it seems, from my point of view, it seems to be growing. More and more people are getting to know you, and as soon as they get to know you, they seem to rapidly become supporters. So, because this is
I'm just trying to be a voice of common sense. You know, I look at everything in my life now from a common sense point of view. And, you know, I'm involved in these political conversations with you gentlemen in the PPC over the next little while because I really, right now, I don't see any other choice for Canada. I have grandchildren and children that are going to be raised in this country, and I just want them to have the same experience I did growing up, and I don't see that right now. And I'm going to fight that to the death. I am. I'm committed to fighting what I see going on because what else is more important in our lives right now? Nothing. The new car and the new TV and the big house, it means nothing, man. Your monetary value right now can be taken away from you in 24 to 48 hours. Everything that you've ever worked for in your life can be taken away from you in a heartbeat. People have to realize what we're dealing with. We're dealing with evil entities that control a monetary situation. They control every aspect of our life, whether we believe it or not. And when they want to bring chaos into society, they can. So, you know, I look at it right now, what else can we do but try and reach people's hearts, guys, period. Because I love people, and I love what I've had to grow up with. I love my children. I love everybody, and I don't want to see people suffer. Go ahead.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. All the more reason for this country to disentangle ourselves from the United Nations. I think Maxime Bernier has got it bang on. We need to limit our involvement with them to a minimum and start taking care of our own. You know, this Canada First platform that he's put out there, I just wish that more and more people would listen to those of us that are sounding the alarm bells, because I think the situation is quite dire.
I think it is too. And I do see quite a rise in people that are kind of tuning in once in a while and making comments on my social media pages. Unfortunately, I still have to work with the devil right now, that being Facebook. But I ask myself every day, what am I doing right? Because I haven't been put in Facebook jail yet, and I feel kind of left out. So what do I got to do to get there, guys? I really feel like I'm not in the club. Everybody else is going, hey, I've been in Facebook jail for a week, and I'm posting the same links. I'm sharing the same kind of information, and I haven't been put in yet. So I don't know. It's got me thinking.
Careful what you wish for. I do have some of the people that I'm friends with that have been placed in Facebook jail for short periods of time, and it's really unsettling. Now, having said that, though, if it wasn't for Facebook and the platform that they provided, I doubt the People's Party of Canada would be anywhere near where they are today. I mean, I was one of the main architects for the for establishing the Ontario network of EDA pages so that we could funnel our membership into their appropriate writing so that we can establish these face-to-face, person-to-person meetings. And, I mean, listen, it didn't cost us anything to do that. It was a very involved project, but the results of that were absolutely phenomenal. And I think history shows that leaders and parties that adopt new forms of technology and new mediums tend to be very, very successful. And I think we did that by utilizing Facebook. As odious as Facebook is at times, it did provide us with quite a powerful tool to reach a rapidly growing support base. I don't know how that could have been achieved any other way.
I agree. I'm using the enemy's tool against him right now.
Exactly.
One of the things, I did have a conversation with Maxine, and I got to talk to him for about a half an hour one day. The last 5 minutes of my conversation, I brought up the subject of industrial hemp to Maxine. And the first thing he said to me is, you know, I haven't really looked into this. Give me a little information. So I put together a couple sentences to him, and I kind of knocked him off his chair. And he says, can you send me a link? Well, I sent him a link to this company in Calgary, Alberta, that's producing hemp-based products right now that, when I say could absolutely revolutionize our world, I'm not making an understatement. And Max was willing to go and have a look at it. And then I got an email from him saying, this is absolutely fascinating information, and I'll look at it some more. One of the things I want the PPC party to do is to be open to environmental solutions that we have right now at our fingertips. Because you know and I know that these political battles, they'll rise, they'll fall, parties will rise and fall, governments will rise and fall. But the planet is something that, if we continue to damage it the way we are, might not be able to support life in the near future. So I'd love to see the party embrace industrial hemp because of all the qualities. And I put some of this forward to Maxine. He was very receptive. I've put it forward to Billy Joyce and Frank Vaughn. And they all listen and absolutely agree that we need to revolutionize the way we do things. Create industries at home, detoxify our soil, build houses that can't burn, build houses that'll burn, that will last 300 to 500 years. And when I start talking about this stuff to people, it's all common sense. We have common sense approaches to all the solutions to all the problems. So it's good that the party's open to that. And I hope you guys are the same way. Industrial hemp, to me, is one of the biggest solutions the planet can embrace. Go ahead. I don't want to get into a hemp rant, okay, because I'll go for an hour.
No, I understand. And I think practical solutions is absolutely central to the party's environmental plan. I know that on the platform, on the website itself, he talks about, you know, the air quality and the water and cleaner soil, fresh drinking water for some of our First Nations communities, you know, like Attawapiskat. And I know that last week during the Labor Day parade in Hamilton, our prime minister was in the parade. He was invited by one of the unions there that the name escapes me right now. And some members of the Grass Narrows community showed up to protest, and he was quickly whisked away, you know. And did you hear much about that in the media, you know?
Here's
not a peep. You know, it's so frustrating when you have these communities that have been ignored for so long, and here you have a prime minister that positions himself as this, you know, sympathetic prime minister who's going to, you know, fix the problems for these First Nations communities, and as soon as he's challenged by these very members that he's promised to help, he takes off. It's embarrassing. Yeah. I'm not a Liberal Party supporter. I don't support this prime minister. But it's embarrassing when our national leader.
But one thing that has to occur, Barry, and it has to be done over and over again, is this. We have to distinguish between this so-called global warming debate and environmental issues. Because the left has made it all part of their tactics to conflate global warming with clean air, global warming with environmental issues.
Exactly.
And I think part of the reason they've done it is because when environmental issues came along, and incidentally it was the progressive conservatives in Alberta who were the first to bring in heavy-duty environmental legislation, when that came in, the private sector immediately saw opportunities to make money by improving the environment.
Right,
and
of course.
What you have to do is look at the housing industry and how much they've improved housing since environment became an issue. And of course, socialists don't like the fact that the private sector takes something like this and makes a profit out of it. So therefore, they had to tie it in with global warming because no corporation can solve the planet's environment or the atmosphere, let's say. But we have to continuously distinguish between the environment and global warming, because these global warming people are actually detracting from legitimate environmental issues such as the one you brought up.
Right. And, of course, the environment issues touch at the heart. You know, so when you touch people's heartstrings, they're more apt to solutions that you're going to bring forward and more apt to believe the bull that they're being fed. To me, global warming is the biggest scam being played on the human race right now. Carbon tax is the biggest ripoff in Canadian history. 100%. It's unbelievable what they're getting away with.
100%, Barry. I completely 100% agree with that. Cameron, can you explain to me, I mean, I know I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed sometimes, but can you explain to me how carbon dioxide...
That's my line.
Sorry for stealing it.
Go ahead.
Carbon dioxide becomes so dangerous. I mean, I hearken back to my grade 3 science class where I was taught that it's basically plant food.
So your question is what?
How did carbon dioxide become our enemy? Because from what I understand, You know, plants need it to survive, and then they produce oxygen. And we need the oxygen to survive, right? It's kind of like a symbiotic relationship. So
you're starting from the wrong point, Vinny. Here's the point you have to start from if you're a nice, good left-wing socialist. You have to start and say, I hate the oil industry. I hate any of these big industries, right? And then, of course, you can move from there and say, well, how are we going to paralyze the oil industry? Well, if we can stop the combustion engine, then we can paralyze the oil industry. How do we stop the combustion engine? Well, we make CO2 emissions how into a devil. That's how that goes, in my opinion.
Right. They don't want you to know that you could power your car on water, and if we develop the hydrogen cell, we could make it so efficient in such a short period of time it would baffle people, and you could put a gallon of water in your car and drive to California. They don't want you to know that.
Instead, we're going full steam ahead, pardon the pun, with these electric vehicles that require these batteries that have a fairly short shelf life. And the mining process for the elements that those batteries require, like lithium and cobalt, is, from what I understand, is even more detrimental to local environments than producing oil and gas.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I looked into that. The toxicity of these batteries is incredible. And it's so unnecessary.
Yeah, I mean, what do we do with batteries once they're dead? I mean, we can't recycle them, so what happens? Do they end up in a landfill site?
Don't worry about it. Just put it in right beside those barrels of nuclear waste that we buried there, and we'll just not worry about it, okay?
So our solution to the pollution is dilution?
Interaction. We don't know what's going to happen, so we'll just see. It's sad, isn't it, guys? It really is. You know, right now, if the human race embraced what's going on with magnetic technology and what can be done with magnets, it absolutely would blow people's minds. But this information is not being exposed to the public. That I believe 100% from the bottom of my heart right now that perpetual motion is a reality, and we can do that using batteries that are 100 times stronger than the batteries you played with as a kid. That the new generation of neodymium magnets have so much incredible power. You don't need an electrical source to create that power. So one only has to ask themselves, if you have that kind of power, it can do work for you, can it not? And yes, it can. That the generators that are coming out, odd even configurations of these magnets lined up with coils, is producing hundreds and hundreds and hundreds times amount of energy it uses to the impulse on the coils. I'm looking at stuff coming out right now, guys. It's just mind-blowing that we could put everything we're doing right now for producing power aside and make it totally, totally irrational. But we got to get that information out to the public, and you don't hear about it. Go ahead. I'll share that information with you guys, man. I'll send you some sites that will absolutely blow your mind right now. Go ahead.
That'd be great. Thank you.
You know, there's a company in British Columbia now that's sequestering carbon out of the air and producing a fuel that has no byproducts, no emissions, and they're doing it for the same price as gasoline. Did you know that? They sold a prototype to the Philippines. They bought a prototype, and they have contracts pending for 4 more prototypes to be built offshore in other countries, of course, because the Canadian government, the oil industry, and big petrol dollars not going to embrace that kind of idea in Canada. But this is reality. I'll send you a link on that one, guys. It'll blow your mind.
Are you talking about that company in Squamish, B.C. that converts carbon dioxide into pellets?
Yeah.
I read up what they're doing.
Go look at what they're doing, guys. It's mind-blowing.
But again, we're back into this, you know, this mindset that we need to capture carbon because it's so, you know, detrimental. I don't know exactly how I feel about that, to be honest with you.
Yeah, maybe it could be a negative effect if we're restoring carbon, because carbon is the building blocks of the environment. It's just another example of technologies that are coming out that could actually make a big change. And you're right, I thought about that point. You know, carbon is the building blocks of our planet, so sequestering it might not be a bad idea, but it just shows you that people are trying to come up with solutions to the problems, be it right, be it wrong. Go ahead.
And what's crazy about that, I mean, regardless of our opinion on carbon, you would think that these people that are aggressively promoting green energy would be all over that. Instead, what are they promoting? Windmill power, and these solar array batteries, and or sorry, these electric batteries and solar panels, which, you know, I feel the direction that these green energy fanatics are, you know, replacing one environmental problem for another. And I'm not sure that, you know, these new technologies that they're pushing are any better. As a matter of fact, I'm quite certain that they're going to be far more detrimental overall to our environment in the long run.
Hmm. Yeah, solar is kind of in the infancy, but I know there is problems with solar production, but I think if we spent the amount of money that we spend building weapons every year to kill ourselves and develop and get rid of the bugs out of solar power, I think that would be one of the solutions for the planet myself.
Well, one of the problems you have with both solar power and and windmills is that, let's take windmills, for example. The amount of energy that you require to produce one wind turbine, right, is more energy than the wind turbine produces during its life expectancy.
Right.
And the problem with the solar panels is that it's such a low-grade, lack of intensity-type power in contrast to, say, a combustion engine, that it takes miles and miles and miles of destroyed ecology to generate the kind of energy you need out of those. So those two are dead in.
And storage is the reason for those.
That technology is advancing. I'm saying what I'm saying is, there's bugs in solar right now.
Yeah.
But I think that if we put some serious money into getting rid of those bugs and developing it properly, it would be an answer to some of the problems we have. Because the energy is over our head. We just need to learn how to harness it properly. In my opinion. I'm not an expert. I see major developments coming in solar, and I see advancements. I see them printing solar panels now out of 3D printers, which is cool.
Okay.
It's done a lot of production negativity in producing solar panels. I'm not an expert on it, but what we're doing now has to change, so we've got to find alternatives.
Well, as long as they rely on the marketplace and don't ask the taxpayers to subsidize them, which is, of course, what was done with wind energy, then I'm fine with that. Because the market will sort out itself as to what is the best and most environmentally sound type of energy to be using.
Yeah, listen, living here in Ontario, I can tell you firsthand what policies like the Green Energy Act has done to our economy. I mean, it's decimated our economy. We are the most indebted sub-sovereign region on the planet. You know, I think our debt load right now is $340 billion. We're spending over $1 billion a month on interest payments alone on our debt. How do our children, how are they going to be able to manage with that kind of debt load based on such an incredibly disastrous plan? It's stunning to me. Not only that, but, you know, I drive up to areas that have now, you know, beautiful landscape areas that are dotted with these windmills, and I just shake my head at just how, first of all, how ugly they look when you see so many of them around, and they produce a mouse's fart worth of energy. I don't understand why we're committing economic suicide by following some of these policies just so that we can feel better, thinking that we're doing something beneficial.
It makes you wonder, doesn't it? Grease the wheels of a very small percentage of the population that are squeaking the loudest.
Yeah,
what it comes down to, and they use that weapon so well, man. They know the loops and the holes to jump through, and they know how to push the buttons, and they know how to pit this against that, and how to use this against that. They're very good at it, and now we see that coming forward, man. It's unbelievable. I mean, I looked at the windmill situation in Ontario, but then again, who was in charge of that? The wind government? How many billions and billions of dollars did she indebt the province of Ontario, and she walks away and gets a pension?
Unbelievable, isn't it?
Isn't it? I think all politicians should be judged on the performance they on their record while they're in power. And if they indebted a province that many billions of dollars like she did, who entitles her to get paid for it? It's like if I work for a company and I cost that company $50,000 my first week there, they sure wouldn't be giving me a pension or a settlement. And see you later. Have a good life. Don't worry about the problems. Go ahead, guys. It's insane. It really is.
Barry, we stopped being
set up to serve itself. We know that. Go ahead.
Barry, we stopped being a meritocracy a long time ago, right? I mean, you're rewarded based on the merit of your ideas and policies. That just doesn't happen anymore. And we see that right across the economic and political spectrum. I mean, well, we can discuss crony capitalism and how dangerous that is to this country. Oh my goodness!
We don't have time for it all, man. Talk about fiat currency. We could talk about the bubble, and we could talk about everything going on right now.
I promise. It's so crazy. I'll be focused.
You know what,
Vinny said that we didn't have some sort of a performance bond requirement for these political parties.
Yeah,
the general could look after 3 or 4 years and see what their performance was like. And they forfeit their $500 million performance bond, or $500,000, or whatever it is. Then they'd be too broke, and they would go out of business, and another political party would come along.
Exactly. We're going to put lie collars on them. Every shock collars. So when they tell a lie, they get shocked. And they'd all be twitching in Parliament, man, because none of them tells the truth. Except for this gentleman that I'm kind of supporting now, and I believe he's telling a lot of truth, and that's Maxime Bernier. But anyways, guys, we're down to the last 5 minutes. So what I would like to do in the last 5 minutes is get some closing comments and thoughts from both of you gentlemen. We'll have to close out the first hour. We didn't have time to touch on half the stuff I wanted to talk, but I want to thank you for joining me today. One of you first. Either.
Do you want to go ahead, Cameron?
No, go ahead, Vinny.
Okay. Listen, I'm just grateful of being given this opportunity. I've been a believer in Max's platform since I started following the leadership campaign a couple of years ago. I think his policies make a tremendous amount of sense, and I'm incredibly proud to be supporting him. And one of the things that that I'm so encouraged by is. And I'm going to go back to, my martial arts training from years ago that, a leader brings others to lead. And that's exactly what he's doing. He's bringing people like myself and other people that have come forward and committed to representing the party. He's allowed them to lead. And that, to me, is the mark of a true leader. I don't think there's anybody else in the political landscape at the federal level that has that belief and that ability to do that. He's inspiring. He's absolutely inspiring, and his courage is because of his courage, I think things are looking up for this country.
Absolutely, speaks volumes. Cameron?
Well, I tend to concur with Vinny. The thing that impressed me about both Max and this People's Party is his willingness to go out and dictate policy that doesn't necessarily correspond to the focus of. That is something we need much more of. That's all I have to say because we're running out of time.
Agreed, Cameron. Again, wise words by Cameron.
Very wise words from both of you gentlemen today, and it's been a pleasure having you both on. I like the intellectual people that really have their finger on the pulse of what's going on in my country right now, our country, on my show. So thanks for joining me, gentlemen. And hang in, guys. For the next hour here, I have my anonymous Army veteran going to join us, and he is the founder of the Nationwide Information Initiative. And he's got some pretty incredible stuff to share with, so please hang around. And also in the second hour, I'm going to have Norman Travesty in, talking about criminal charges that have been accepted by a judge here in Canada. This is kind of blockbuster information, so hang around. This is going to be cool. Back in a couple minutes.
Thank you, Barry.
Thanks, Barry.
Thanks, guys. Welcome back to second hour, folks. And thanks again to Vinny and Cameron. It was an awesome conversation. Enjoyed that immensely, gentlemen. I am joined second hour by John, who is an Army veteran. Also the founder of the Nationwide Information Initiative, something we really want to talk about today. And welcome to the show, John.
Thanks for having me, Barry. It's an honor and a privilege, and I really hope this information encourages all of our People's Party of Canada supporters across the nation.
Yeah, let's get right into you just put out a video, John. So let's talk about that first. And the other ones that you've just released, I had a chance to look at a couple of them. Good work, bud. Good information.
Awesome. Thanks so much. And, I can't really take all the credit. All I did was follow up on Tom Quiggin's entryism video, and I saw the document, the PDF he had linked out, and I just read through it, made sense of it, and then just kind of made a video around that 13-page document about the reality that there's MP candidates – being placed in the Conservative Party that around the Toronto region that have links to Pakistani ISI, which is their intelligence service over there. And I had remembered from back in the day when I'd read a book on radicalism that the Pakistani ISI had been the ones that helped train the Taliban and were fighting alongside them at the beginning of the big war on terror against American troops. So, I mean, you put all that together, this isn't good. And then, of course, the Qatar papers are out now and it's all falling together. And Canadians need to know, like, we're being sold up the river by the three main parties for whatever reason. You know, maybe it's politics, maybe it's money, maybe it's power. I don't know exactly. I can speculate. But it's very worrisome. And I think anyone who knows this information very quickly just says, you know what, I can't support these parties. And the only viable option is the People's Party of Canada, Maxime Bernier, who's willing and bold enough to speak out against the Islamization of the Western countries, as well as our own country, Canada.
Absolutely. He's the only one that is speaking out against it in Canada right now. The other mainstream parties are embracing it. If you look at their platform and what they're saying, you'll find out what I'm saying is true. So it really speaks volumes to what's going on inside the mainstream parties as opposed to what's going on with Maxime Bernier. It's pretty disturbing what I see going on in the country. Why don't you, for 1 minute here, explain to the audience who Tom Quiggin is and his qualifications and background? I could do that, but I think you'd probably do it a little better than me.
Maybe so. I mean, quick summary, Tom Quiggin is a Canadian himself, and he's a intelligence gatherer, research analyst. He worked with the RCMP back in the day and then did a bunch of different work alongside our Canadian military, and he's kind of gone on to the freelance side of things, but he's an expert on terrorism. He's certifiably able to bear testimony in our courts on terrorism, and so he's put out a Quiggin Report. It's a podcast that comes out about a weekly or so, just divulging what's going on. And most recently, someone in the nation of Qatar, which is a small Middle Eastern nation, but by capita is the most wealthy nation, I think, in the world because of its, I think it's liquid natural gas. But in any case, they fund Muslim Brotherhood infiltration into all the different countries. And so somebody in Qatar got on one of the computers of someone high up and got, I think, 1,000 documents and then smuggled them over to France and then said, hey, you have to get this out to the world. And then so someone in France, because Tom Quiggin is, you know, renowned around the world and very held in high repute, someone said to him, well, hey, why don't you get some of this out too? So they gave him permission to do it as long as he waited until they had published their book in France. But, of course, it's in French. And so he had someone here in Canada, I think, translating the Arabic from the Qatar files. And then so he's begun leaking that out. And, I mean, he was warning. He sent his book about Islamism and entryism into political systems to all the members of parliament several months ago, you know, so they know this information. His own tweets reveal that he's never heard back from any of them. Then he has other tweets where he divulges basically that he's been trying to contact and talk to the parties about what's going on in terms of infiltration and who these bad characters are. And they've resisted, which tells
he's
you
he's stonewalled.
Exactly.
Well, every attempt he's made to bring this information forward, well, they don't want to hear it. And why is that?
Right.
I mean, you think that would be the most important information that they'd be able to embrace right now. But, of course, we know the agenda is much deeper, much, much deeper than that, Michael. Or, I mean, John, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you can speculate. Like, one of the things we know that I believe it's Algeria and Saudi Arabia that send their oil into Quebec, okay? And so it goes – it's probably going to Montreal. The mayor in Montreal is very opposed to Alberta pipelines. And the premier is very against it as well. So they're probably receiving some sort of a payback or whatever from these countries that are saying, take our oil and don't let any Canadian oil through, because that's going to affect the world market. And I suspect maybe – maybe the Conservative Party thinks if they play ball with this Muslim Brotherhood, well, then they'll, you know, recant a little bit and let more of the Canadian oil go to market. I mean, that's the best case scenario. It's still disgusting to me. Why would you sell out parts of Canada in order to benefit parts of Canada? You know, that's very short-sighted. I think most of it, honestly, I think it's just about power. I think.
Let's summarize that for a second. We're putting billions and billions and billions of dollars into the Saudi economy, bringing yes. over oil into Canada that is substandard to our environmental conditions of Canadian oil. We have stopped Canadian oil from moving across the country. Why are we spending and sending billions and billions of dollars to a country that has the worst record for human rights violations in the world? Why are we doing that? That's a monumental question. And the government, of course, is stuck for an answer.
Yeah. And, you know, fascinating thing. I was not very politically involved. It was just I was going to vote Conservative and get Trudeau out just like everyone else. And then this May, I came across some things that – you know, it was the straw that broke the camel's back in terms of social conservatism and how not conservative our Conservative Party is. And I said, okay, that's enough. And so I took to Facebook to publicly announce to all of my 700 friends, like, I'm done. This is what they're doing. This is what they're about. I can't do this anymore. And, you know, by providence, I had a good friend text me to say, hey, my good friend I've always wanted to introduce you to is going to be running as an MP candidate in your riding. Actually, he's doing the nomination process. Can you, you know, link up with him to sign his paper and watch his debate? And so I did. And I was like, wow, this is what I'm about. And so then I started doing the research into Maxime Bernier, started supporting the party. I had some, you know, conservative friends come out and attack me, which is beyond me, to say, you know, you're going to split the vote. What are you doing? Maxime Bernier is a sore loser. And then so I was like, okay, well, what is this about? So I started doing my research, very quickly realized that these are all empty arguments from people that don't know what they're talking about. It's all knee-jerk reaction stuff. Maxime Bernier left a very corrupt party that would not let their MPs represent their constituents. And after – you know, a year of seeing Andrew Scheer and the executive just get worse and worse. He said this party can't be reformed, and he left in 2018, August, just before their convention. So it made complete sense to me. So then I just kept watching, reading articles, digging in, and then of course Tom Quiggin's entryism video came out, and I just, yeah, here we are, right?
You know, the funny thing is anybody that's listening to in Canada right now could go do the same research, and honestly, in 2 hours – on the computer one night, and you look into what we just talked about, you listen to the Quiggin reports, look at how much they've infiltrated our government and the control they have in our country already and how fast it's accelerating. You can do that research in 2 or 3 hours. And if it doesn't get your blood boiling, then I don't know what to say. Because our country's in a very, very bad situation right now. Very bad situation.
Absolutely. It's dire. I mean, your last guests, Vinny and Cameron, I think it was, they were talking about the UK and Sweden and stuff. And I mean, the UK has allowed this infiltration and this pressure to be applied so mightily that there's like so much censorship there. You can't talk out about these things. And it's, you know, it's going even farther than that. And so it's really easy to look at Canada and see we are about 4 to 8 years behind the UK. And we're maybe 12 years out from just an even worse crackdown. And, I mean, I got to be honest, this isn't alarmism, but I think this might be the last election we have that could be legitimate, above board, where they're not fixing the ballot machines, they're not fixing the ballots by paper. I think this might be it, because after this – we're already seeing this media suppression of a very powerful, large, but new party, the People's Party of Canada. I mean, it is crazy how they are actually working to suppress this party and the message to keep anyone from learning about them. Because when you do, you see, wow, this is it. This is the answer. Let's do it. And so in 4 years, it's not going to be better. It's going to be worse. There's going to be more censorship. There's going to be more control. There's going to be, you know, you won't even be able to talk about these things. If people don't get on board, you know, we'll take some time to talk about my information initiative. But if people don't get on board and, and the PPC gets 6 or 12 seats or whatever, you know, that's good, especially for a first-year party. But in 4 to 5 years, I don't think they would even be able to get enough of their message out to get those seats back, let alone win the government and make some radical changes that are needed. So this is the year we actually have to, you know, do all of our own due diligence and just sacrifice and go out and let people know.
Well, the good news is I've looked at lots of independent polls being held in Canada right now outside of the influence of mainstream. And they're, of course, telling us a completely different story that we're hearing from mainstream, that people are starting to pay attention. And really, honestly, folks, only takes an hour of your time to look at the platform of the party. Look at everything they're saying about everything that's going on in Canada right now and the common sense solution they have. And I did. I looked at it and read everything that they've had to say. And everything they say makes absolute common sense to me, but nothing that's coming out of the Liberal or the Conservatives or the NDP or the crazy Green Party makes any sense to me at all. Well, just use your own brain. Go read it, man. And that's all I got to say about that. It's pretty black and white.
Yeah, exactly. I totally agree with you, Barry. And it's really amazing. I mean, I'll try and touch on a couple of topics here. Like, I did listen last night to Andrew Scheer's immigration platform speech that he delivered to Armenians in Toronto, I think. And I mean, you know, it sounded nice, sounded reasonable, but really it was empty platitudes and it had no substance. It didn't have any hard numbers, you know, oh, every year we're going to make sure we're bringing in the necessary amount and we want to help other countries. It had nothing firm, nothing real, nothing substantive. But Maxime Bernier's immigration policy, which he, I believe, had help from Dr. Salim Mansour, a Muslim himself who's been in the country for 31 years, came from Calcutta, India, started off here.
Man. Pardon? Very intelligent man.
Well, he has a doctorate in political science. He's emeritus professor from Western University. He started off as a taxi driver and just worked his way up. And I mean, brilliant. And he's outspoken against Islamism. He himself, as a Muslim, you know, sees what that's done all over the world. He's written books warning people, warning and commenting on it. And he's apparently one of the people that helped write the immigration platform for the PPC. So Bernier is an intelligent guy. He's smart. He knows what he's doing. But at the same time, he's not so proud that he wouldn't have you know, experts who are more knowledgeable influence his platforms, right? Same thing with the veterans platform they just announced. 44 veterans who are MP candidates for the party or involved in electoral district associations putting up those candidates are the people that sat down and wrote the platform. So that it's actually going to benefit veterans. It wasn't a politician. It wasn't a bureaucrat. It was veterans who wrote it. So, I mean, this kind of stuff is amazing. It's unheard of. There's so much promise. You talk to yourself about being able to look at the platform for an hour and come away going, wow, this makes sense. This is it. This is who I'm voting for. And the good news is it only takes about an hour. You know, you can look at the platform. You can look at the blog site that I've put up, which is, you know, is a great resource. It's populated by some videos, and it's going to be populated by more videos as I get time to make them. And just a shout out to your listeners. If anyone out there has even reasonable skill in doing software video editing, I'll prepare the scripts. I'll do the audio recording. I'll give you the source images and video. And, you know, you could help me knock this stuff out real fast. But I've put that out there so that people can be guided to the platform and then guided to my videos. And you put those two things together, and it's a no-brainer. Not only is the party awesome, but you do get to see the corruption in the other parties. And you get to, you know, see that we can easily win if we just share the information. And so, yeah, it's amazing. And
that first video you put out, how many views you got on it now?
Okay, so it's been out for only like a week and a half, and it's got over 2,500 views. The radical Islamism is in our government.
Right.
And I mean, that's pretty good for a video that's 40 minutes long.
Yeah, long videos tend to lose people's attention, but I did listen to the whole thing because everything that you talk about in there, it all works together. You've got to look at the big picture and how they're manipulating so many aspects of our society. Mm-hmm. It was good information, and I shared it on my Facebook, and I've had lots of good response on it. Good video, but let's talk about Islam in Canada just for a minute. How far do you see these tentacles going right now?
You know, it's hard to say. I do want to differentiate for our listening audience here. We have Islam and we have Islamism. The difference, you've got the –
Absolutely. My apologies.
But there's no, that's fine.
There are two different things. Go ahead.
So, you know, you have the people that want to follow the Quran. They want to worship Allah. That's their prerogative. By all means, go ahead. Then you have the other people who have grasped onto this political kind of idea of what Islam is and how it has to be forced upon, you know, every nation in, around the world as some sort of a caliphate in order to bring about the end of the world or whatever it is their aim is. And so the Islamism is what is threatening our nation. Islam itself does not necessarily have to be like that, although different people will disagree with me, and that's fine. I just like to differentiate because even myself, I was under the, you know, that belief, and I was kind of wary. But now, you know, I'm seeing people like Dr. Salim Mansour. I'm seeing Tariq Fatah. I'm seeing some of our other PPC candidates who are Muslims themselves. And they're the ones that are most concerned because they've fled these nations where Sharia has taken over. And I mean, one of my best friends is actually a former Muslim who his whole family converted to Christianity, but they had to flee where they were. And he'll tell you the truth. It's, you know, it's what's going on over there is dangerous. And if it comes here, it's dangerous. And so, yeah, I just wanted that caveat. But I mean, so Islam, you know, it's growing. There's people that are with that. And I think if I think if we're able to maintain the freedom in Canada, then the smaller percentage of radicals within it, they'll see that they'll see maybe perhaps the vanity in Islamism and just want to be Canadian too or Muslim. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm an optimist, but
Yeah, you might be a little bit optimistic because I think once converted to this radical ideology, that I don't think there is too much turning back for them. And if they do, they're killed or their heads are cut off. There is no escaping it once you get yourself involved in what the doctrine preaches. There is no escape. We know that. It's called catastrophe. What's the word?
Apostasy.
Apostasy. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean the fact that in the UK, I think they're allowing some legislation on apostasy laws. I think, and maybe not. Don't quote me, but I mean we're headed that direction. I think it was Omar Al-Ghabra. I think he's from the GTA area, and he's a liberal MP, and he's been trying to influence the liberals to permit Sharia law. I saw a YouTube video. It was only like a minute and a half long, but it was an imam up on a stage behind a desk or a table talking about how the liberals under Justin Trudeau were going to bring in Sharia in the next term if they're elected. I think that video got taken down because I wasn't able to find it in my bookmarks. But, I mean, that's alarming, you know.
Terrifying. But we're heading in that direction. And people say that can't happen in our society. Well, I hate to rain on your parade, folks, but it can. We look at what Justin Trudeau is doing with the United Nations right now and the influence in the United Nations and our sovereignty of our country is absolutely mind-boggling. And their tentacles are growing in leaps and bounds right now in this country. So we're under attack, and the attack is by the elite, and it's globalism. That's the objective. I believe that radical Islam is the tool to destabilize Western culture and Western civilization, and we see that working very, very well. We're in a bit of a pickle. And you know what? I'm honestly not a racist person. I love everybody. And yep. I believe that if you want to come to Canada and you're going to contribute to Canadian society, you want to live within our laws and assimilate to our culture and be a real Canadian, I welcome you with open arms. But what we're seeing right now in Canada is thousands and thousands and thousands of people coming in that aren't being vetted properly, that will never assimilate to our culture. We will be on the verge of culture destruction in the very near future if people don't recognize what's going on. It's not immigration, it's an invasion. Go ahead.
Yeah, I would agree to some extent. There is definitely that agenda. It's called civilization jihad. And, you know, many Muslims come in and they're trying to flee such a country and they want freedom. They want a better way of life. In fact, just the other day door knocking, I had such a Muslim immigrant say to me, "Wow, I love your guys' party." And he said, because I always ask the question, what is the issue that's most pressing on your mind in terms of a federal election? And he said, we have to get this immigration in control. This is a guy who is a Muslim. And, you know, and he was fired up. He said, here's my number. I want to volunteer. I want to help you guys. And so, I mean, they're concerned too. But along with that, you have, I think it's, see, I'm not sure if it's just the party in power, if it's the United Nations saying who should be coming or whatever, but they're trying to funnel in people they know have no desire to integrate, people that they know are going to bring Sharia law. And you're totally right. It's a, I mean, I've heard many different commentators talk in the reality that radical Islamism is something that the global elites or those, you know, kind of trying to play chess with the world can use as a tool to destabilize a nation such as ours, demoralize it, break it down so it's got no identity, so that they then can come in and take over.
Exactly. And that could be done, you know, really, if you think about it, that could be done very, very quickly and very efficiently. You know, we talk about false flags and how that works on civilization and how many times they've used false flags in the history of our civilization to bring society under control. And I believe that a major false flag attack right now in Canada would justify the implementation of the War Measures Act, would bring us under martial law. And at that point, it would be very, very easy for a major change to come. And people say that can't happen. Well, it can, folks, and it just might. And that's one of the mechanisms I've looked at. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I don't think it would take more than 4 to 12 years. I mean, my goodness, they're indoctrinating our children in the school system to be radical leftists and to swallow up everything that the media says. And the media is just getting so biased. In fact, one of my next videos is going to be called Media Bias, Rigged Polls, and the Debates. And it's just going to talk about what's being done here. But I have a friend, and we were watching a documentary out of the States called The Agenda, 1 and 2. And he said to me, my friend said that his cousin went through journalism school here in Canada. And during one lecture, I don't know if it was on journalism philosophy or what, but he said, is it okay if I just like remark on the truth and just give the facts? And the professor got mad. He said, no, we shape the narrative here. We tell the story. And that to me is disgusting. It's alarming. The idea of a free press is not so that they're free to shape society and send it down a their own little course. It's so that they have the freedom to report the facts so that the populace can make a decision for themselves so they can be informed. And, I mean, the media is just so controlled.
Yeah, it needs to be called out more and more and more. I mean, Canadians should all be phoning the corporate broadcasting situation in Canada and calling them out. Because, I mean, when you got a government that bails them out for $600 million and then adds another $600 million, by the way, to the bailouts. I don't know if you knew about that, but the government very, very quietly added another $600 billion to the bailouts of mainstream media in Canada. So they completely control everything that's going on in mainstream now. What we're hearing is being perpetrated by the government. Well, that is, if we're not into a complete fascist state, then we're one step away from it. You control the media, you control the mass.
Exactly, exactly. And they, like, these kind of puppeteers in behind everything, they're smart. I mean, they're not infallible. They certainly make mistakes, which is why we find out their schemes so often. But they're smart. They've looked at history. They've looked how Hitler's done it, how Stalin's done it. They've learned from the KGB and everything. And so they know how to boil the frog just a little slower and a little more subtly. And that's exactly what they're doing. They're trying to bring us into that kind of totalitarian regime without us not even knowing. And one of those schemes is things like Netflix, complete distraction, complete giving people comfort, letting them think that everything is going fine around them. So that, you know, they can bring in.
Yeah,
rain
I mean,
in
the biggest thing in people's lives is the Toronto Raptors or the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Exactly.
You know, the focus of your life is rah, rah, rah. My team's better than your team. We could talk about distractions for hours because there's multiple distractions they brought into society to keep us fighting amongst ourselves. So we don't see the real enemy. And they're very good at it, man. They are.
Yeah.
The masters of mind control.
Mm-hmm. Well, you mentioned the Toronto Raptors and, you know, sports, and it's disgusting. But Aleister Crowley, who's known as the father of modern Satanism, wrote once upon a time in some of his books in the early 20th century after he claims he channeled a demonic spirit, which he'd later say was actually Lucifer or Satan himself. But one of the things he talked about was the use of, you know, distractions such as professional sports. I think he called it like the battling between boys and the screaming of infants or whatever, something along those lines.
Yeah, I had this conversation earlier today on a show this morning about how far our society has gone to more as far as our moral basis, and not something I really want to get into conversation about.
Sure, but, yeah,
it's very relevant what we see how our society is being demoralized when we have drag queens doing stories in our libraries to 6 and 7 year old children. We have naked men posing with 11 year old drag queens, and you know our society's in bad shape. And it is all tied together. Demoralize the society, undermine society's morals. They're very easy to control.
Exactly. Me,
the movement, man. I mean, everything we see is about self and endowment. It's nothing to do with what we're really supposed to be doing. It's really focusing our attention on the dark side, I'll call it.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, it's fascinating, but also very disturbing that same agenda Aleister Crowley was putting forth, saying that he was doing it on behalf of, you know, the devil, basically, it aligns so much with what Marxists, communists have done over the last 100 years. You know, they knew, okay, we have to demoralize a society. We have to, you know, we have to androgenize everything. Anyways, we don't need to get into it, but it's very similar. And if someone has watched like Yuri Bezmenov, ex-KGB operatives discussion after he defected, wow, I mean, the similarities are crazy, and we're seeing them happening all around us today. Political correctness is well known in many circles as a tool of Marxists in order to stop dissent and stop conversation and censor people so that they can't speak out against things. And we know that the Islamists and the Muslim Brotherhood, through all their different foundations and charities, have pushed policies to make it so that you can't question radical Islamism because that makes you an Islamophobe, even though the two things are completely different. And it is very alarming what they're doing, and people should be, you know, beckoning and sending warning calls. But
yeah, exactly.
The good thing is the encouragement is the People's Party of Canada. They stand against all this. They're about free speech. They're against the radicalism, and then they have all the excellent ideas for our economy and everything. The things that your average everyday voter is more concerned about. I mean, so I'm over here in Alberta. And I've been doing door knocking, and it is amazing. If anyone's listening to this and they're feeling you know, a little disparaged or whatever, the reality is 70 to 80% of the people that we've been talking to at the door, when we lay out the platforms and the solutions for the pipelines, the fact that Bernier is willing to use the Constitution to impose the pipelines, whereas Andrew Scheer and the Conservatives is hoping to entice people through an energy corridor, which many provinces don't even want to participate in, and that's going to fall on its face. The fact that Andrew Scheer, just like Trudeau, is all about the Paris Accord, which talks about reducing carbon dioxide emissions to 30% what they are from 2005. That's going to cripple our oil industry and different industries across the country. When people hear these things, they go, oh my gosh, okay, PPC, sign me up. This makes so much sense. And, you know, we just recently went to a place in our riding that we had new people signing up as donors. We had new people signing up to get lawn signs. And one of the strategies people can use for door knocking, if you stick primarily at first to the main residential streets that everyone has to drive down in order to take the little off, you know, the little off turns or whatever into the smaller streets. If you stick to those main streets, once those people put out their lawn signs, everyone going home sees those lawn signs. And that way you can get all the main streets in town first, and then boom. You only have to cover 5% of the houses. In most ridings, that there's average is probably about 25,000 single dwellings or doors that you knock on. But you get your signs out there so that everybody sees them on the way home. Then once that's done, then you can start going to the secondary roads off of that and knocking on doors. And then you get to the tertiary roads and then the ones that are even farther down. And then hopefully by October 21st, you've knocked on every single door. But along that way, people have seen the signs every day on the way home. And they've looked into the message, you know. and other things like, you know, I would encourage everyone. I mean, you yourself, you talked about the hour it takes to do the research. So you can go look at the platform. You can go to Canadians4PPC.blogspot.com. That's the nationwide information initiative that I've started with all the resources. You can watch the videos. You can share them with friends. Once you're familiarized, you don't have to be an expert. You just have to be familiar enough to say, when someone at the door says, you know, well, what about firearms? Well, you know what, sir or ma'am, I'm really sorry, I don't know. But you can. I know they have it in their platform, and I know it's in these videos. Go check them out. Here's a card. Here's the web address. And, I mean, it's that simple. It doesn't have to be complex. You don't have to be a master of this. You don't have to be an amazing public speaker. It's endearing when someone comes up and says, you know what, I'm not good at this, but I'm really concerned about my country, and I love Canada. Here's the information. Here's the best party. And, you know, it's working. You talked earlier about polls. I would say 20% of Canadians probably, 10 to 20 probably want the People's Party of Canada. And if everybody knew, I think we would probably have 60% of the House of Commons, because it's just such common sense. And you know, when you look into it, it's amazing. You've got people from the New Democratic Party. They're tired of 30 years of socialism growth within that party. That was nothing what they wanted in the first place. They just wanted the middle income worker to be taken care of and remembered. And that's what the NDP were originally about. And so you have people from the NDP leaving. Maxime Bernier said that he had a whole EDA over on the East Coast that was former NDP. They just walked away and they said, we're going to work for the PPC this year because our party's not giving us any answers. And this is the only party that will. You got classical liberals walking away from the liberals because they want freedom of speech, and they're just tired of imbalanced budgets and massive deficits. And they say, you know what? It's only going to be solved by the PPC. You've got obviously conservatives leaving. I'm one of them. And there's lots of other people. In fact, while I was door knocking the other day, I talked to a gentleman, and you know, they're hardcore when they say, no, I'm PC. Because they're referring to the Progressive Conservatives, which is a defunct party. It hasn't been around for like 20 years, amalgamated with the Reform Party into the Alliance and then became the CPC. But this guy, no, don't even bother, I'm PC. And I'm like, well, can you just tell me why you are? Like, what are the answers you think you're going to get from them? And then it's, oh, he's going to bring in a pipeline, he's going to help the economy. And then I can just explain the reality of the energy corridor and the fact that Ontario doesn't want to buy Quebec's hydroelectricity. So the main problem province, Quebec, wouldn't benefit from an energy corridor. So why would they agree to us, you know, building it and then putting our Alberta pipelines through it, right? So yeah. And then you talk about the carbon pricing being the exact same thing as carbon tax, except it's a tax on the emitter, which means it just trickles down because now they have to raise their cost, their retail price or whatever in order to make up for lost profits. And then that ends up falling on us, except next year we don't get a rebate while the emitter does. And so, I mean, that's just a big fat lie. And so they see what's going on. And by the end of my conversation with this gentleman, which is about 6-7 minutes long, he was like, okay, you know what? Give me your pamphlet. I'll take a look. And then because I learned he was a veteran, I was also able to tell him about the reality of the veteran platform being written by 44 veterans rather than bureaucrats and politicians. I mean, it just makes so much sense. So I would encourage everyone to be sharing. At the very least, if you're housebound and you can't go around or you're super nervous in front of people, just call your close, intimate friends and just say, hey, listen, I've learned some concerning things about you know, the other parties we're usually with, NDP, Liberals, and Conservatives are all linked to Muslim Brotherhood through Qatar funding. And, you know, all you got to do is Google Quiggin Report 81, and that's the broadcast that he talks all about that. And if they can remember my website there, CanadiansForPPC.blogspot.com, they can go watch that video, start sharing it. But they just got to call their friends, say, I'm really concerned. I've learned about the People's Party of Canada. I really like it. And it makes sense, and I think this is how we're going to save our country. Because people are really tired of the back-and-forth liberal-conservative ping-pong and the corruption. It's like we've been doing this for 100 years, and the country just keeps going downhill. So that tells you there's a real issue here.
Absolutely. We've seen our country fall so much in the last 4 years, it absolutely boggles my mind. It really does. You look at the state of our economy and what he's done to just about every industry in Canada. We got the biggest construction project in Canada going on right now, about 40 miles away from where I live in Kitimat, British Columbia, the LNG project. And $40 billion worth of steel was given to China, as opposed to Canadian manufacturers, by Mr. Freeland.
Right.
Where is the sanity in that, folks? Think about that for a second. The trickle-down effect of that on our economy will be the $40 billion that the steel companies lost, plus the trickle-down effect. You can add another $20 billion loss to the Canadian economy. We're giving the contract to China, who's illegally holding two Canadian citizens right now, that have stopped our soybean imports and our canola imports, have crippled Canadian farmers. And here we have the government giving them the biggest contract on steel in the last 50 years in Canada. Think yeah. about that for a second. What am I missing here, John?
Oh, yeah, it's gross.
Just an example. Just one example of the liberal hypocrisy. Go ahead.
Well, and I would just caution listeners, you know, who, I mean, we all think, oh, Trudeau, the Liberals, this is awful. Everything they've done for the last 4 years, this has been awful. But the solution is not the Conservatives under Scheer. They are one and the same. So many of their policies are the same. They're not going to be able to help. That energy corridor is going to fall on its face. The carbon pricing is going to hit us so hard. And also the corruption, all the being in bed with Muslim Brotherhood. I mean, we've got to escape this gross system. And when people say, well, you know what, how is the pipeline going to benefit people across the nation? It's just going to be good for Alberta. No, the reality is you're going to have pipe fitters and welders and everything from every province going up with their contracting companies to work on this pipeline. And every community surrounding that area, those guys are going to be coming back, spending their money. I mean, it's going to be just a boon for everybody. And then once the oil starts being able to make it to the market all over, oh, it's going to be incredible. And not to mention equalization, transfer payments and everything. But people that are afraid to door knock, they can talk on the phone with their close friends and then their acquaintances. They just take the time to send a message with these links saying, I'm concerned. Here's the solution. Here's the platform. Here's more information. And, I mean, if you've got over 100 friends across Canada on your Facebook, boom, that's 100 more people. And, I mean, I actually just started doing this the other day along with the door knocking and along with the video making. And because, I mean, I'm all in. I honestly think Canada's done for if we don't get this party in. And so I don't mind sacrificing my movie nights and my relaxation and sort of everything, you know. But I started sending messages to my Facebook friends, and not everyone replies, which is understandable. But those that do reply are saying thank you. I've had only a couple of people say, please don't send me this information again. That's fine. That's like 10%. I don't care. And the people that aren't responding, they may be upset or they may just be quietly, thoughtfully looking at it, or maybe they're rejecting it. Who cares? At least the word's getting out. And then, yes?
I drew a line in the sand.
I drew a line in the sand, yeah.
I have to at this point, because I don't see anything illogical. I know there's lots of things in our Constitution that are wrong and the way this country's set up. And you know, I look at the Myth of Canada, I look at the de jure movements. There's so much credibility to what they're saying. But in the meantime, we have an election coming up here in a very short period of time, 5 weeks away, that we have to stop the lunacy. Because if we don't, we're not going to have a country in 4 years. I honestly believe that. So this is kind of a critical time, but I'm seeing a mass awakening in Canada, just like you're talking about, a mass awakening right now is this party. To say that a Trump-like style event couldn't happen in Canada, I think you have to have your head in the sand. But I think that we're going to reach a lot of people before this election, and a lot of people are going to resonate with what's being said. And we're down. I'm going to pull in about 2 minutes from now. Folks, I'm going to have Norman Travesty join us. Norman has actually succeeded in having criminal charges levied against the Prime Minister. He's going to explain to you what's going on. This is very, very, very cool what's going on, that a judge has actually accepted criminal charges against our Prime Minister. This is going to make headline news. This is going to be something that the Liberals are going to have to answer for. They are going to be in a appearing court. And I'll let Norman explain that to you when he gets on here in a couple minutes or in a minute. Steve, you could actually ring him right now, and I'll let him talk for about 10 minutes. Then at the end of the show here, John, I'll let you share some final thoughts with the listeners.
Sure.
But I know that people want to hear what Norman's got to say, so I'll get Steve to dial his number and bring him in here for us.
Hello.
How you doing, Norman?
Hi.
Well, welcome. Thanks. Sorry? Well, thanks for joining me today, and I gave people a little bit of heads up about what you're going to talk about here in the next 10 minutes, and I'm only going to be able to give you about 10 minutes, so I'm going to let you take it away and tell people what's going on and who you are real quick, bud. Thanks for coming in.
Okay, you're welcome. My name's Norman Traversy. I'm a former firefighter, and a couple of weeks ago I saw a video of the commissioner of the RCMP, Royal Canadian Mounted Police, in full dress uniform. Her name is Brenda Lucky, and she's the first female commissioner of the RCMP, and she's at her, I guess it's inauguration, and she is saluting, and she's got all the Mounties behind her. And while she's saluting, Justin Trudeau walks up to her, kisses her on both cheeks, and then hugs her. And I thought, how contemptible. He has contempt for the person and for the uniform and for the position. And that was it for me. And I thought, this man's a crook. His father was a crook. And by that, I mean Fidel Castro. And I decided to file criminal charges against him, which is my right, going back to the Magna Carta. A lot of Canadians don't know this, but you can file criminal charges if you believe someone has violated the criminal code. So I went to the Ottawa courthouse 2 weeks ago on Monday, and I filed the charges. And I thought they were going to throw me out or they wouldn't accept them, but they did. The charges were accepted. I had to swear to it, which I did. And then the Justice of the Peace signed it and wrote that I had sworn to the thing and scheduled what's called a pre-ENCOT hearing tomorrow, which is unheard of to get something scheduled that quickly in Canada. Normally it would take 6 months to a year, but it's scheduled tomorrow. I've managed to get a lawyer to come with me pro bono tomorrow, and we're going to go before a judge and explain that this matter needs to go forward. Now, if it goes forward, then the Crown, which is our Attorney General, can take over the case. But that means that the Crown has to split itself because the Crown is already part of the Liberal government. And right. That's called the Shawcross Doctrine. And it's unheard of. It's unprecedented for just a private citizen to criminally charge a sitting prime minister. It's never been done. But I've got a GoFundMe page. And if you look on the GoFundMe site and search for Justice for Trudeau and SNC-Lavalin, and you'll see my GoFundMe site there. And we just broke the $6,000 mark about half an hour ago. And that is just for legal expenses. And it's going ahead. It's I guess it's our equivalent of impeachment.
So the information that you're going to provide tomorrow in the court, do you believe that'll be sufficient enough for them to go forward regardless of their political influence?
Yes. Yes, I do. He broke the law. SNC-Lavalin, which is an engineering firm out of Montreal, broke the law. They actually colluded to obstruct justice, and that's in the newspapers. It's all there. And, the Attorney General would have none of this because SNC-Lavalin is charged with all kinds of things, including influencing a foreign power, human trafficking. SNC-Lavalin was paying for prostitutes for Muammar Gaddafi's sons.
Yep.
And buying them drugs. And that's human trafficking, buying prostitutes for dictator's sons. And they were charged here in Canada. And Trudeau tried to block it. He did everything he could. But we were fortunate enough to have an honest Attorney General, Jody Wilson-Raybould, first female attorney general, and she would have none of it. So Trudeau fired her. And not only did he fire her, he threw her out of the Liberal Party.
Yep, same thing with Jane Philpott. Yep.
Yeah.
I followed the SNC-Lavalin affair right from the beginning. It's just another example of the corruption, how deep it runs in our government. The fact that we have a prime minister that's now been found twice guilty of ethics violation, which is a joke.
No, 13
times, but it has no power, has no bearing, gets a $200 fine and a slap on the wrist. What a joke. This is going to shoot a lot of
violated the Ethics Act more than all other prime ministers combined.
Mm. Well, what you're doing right now, Norman, has gained a lot of attention. I've been seeing a lot of attention being played what you're doing right now, and my prayer is that it goes forward tomorrow and it goes to the next step. Because if it does, you're going to set a precedent, and I know there's going to be a lot of people that are going to follow your example, and we're all watching what you're doing tomorrow, man. So I applaud you for your courage, and I applaud your lawyer for his courage to go up against the government. Strange things happen to people that go up against government. Go ahead.
I contacted this lawyer, I believe, on Thursday. And he said, come in and see me. I went in and saw him. And, he's got a beautiful office overlooking Parliament. And I said, look, I've got no money. And he says, well, tell me what's going on. And I told him. And he knew I had no money. And he said, I'll come with you on Monday morning and, present your case. And he said, but I can't work for nothing. And I said, I know that. And I'm going to try and raise some money. That was Thursday. As of now, we have almost $7,000 and people raising money across the country. So I do believe we'll be able to retain this lawyer. And there's another lawyer that wants to help pro bono, but he's in Croatia right now, and he'll be back in a couple of weeks. Now, the lawyer told me that he is going to ask for an adjournment, for a postponement, so we can get our act together. But maybe if I can show him we've got $7,000, he'll ask for the matter to go forward. But I'm going to do what the lawyer suggests. Whatever he thinks is the best, I'll do. So it may be adjourned, as in paused, tomorrow, or it may go ahead. But I don't think they can get rid of it. I don't think they can throw it out. There's no way.
Well, that's going to gain a lot of public attention if it does go forward. And if the mainstream media ever exposes this, it is going to just be another nail in the liberal coffin, because anybody that's watched Justin Trudeau knows how corrupt he is. We could talk about SNC-Lavalin. We could talk about Mark Norman. We could talk about anything this government has done. Bill Monroe, they all are dirty to the core.
The man's 48 years old. He's never had a job outside of part-time drama school teacher. And he has never had to face consequences for anything he has ever done in his entire life, ever. So I'm sure he firmly believes he's above the law. He's not our prime minister. He's our Caesar.
He's a dictator right now. He loves Castro. Yeah. He loves Mao. He loves anything to do with massive control of the human race. He's made that clear. And we see it in all his policies and everything.
He loves the Chinese and their basic dictatorship. Those were his words. He loves
We have an army vet sitting in here right now. John, what do you think about all this that's going on right now?
Well, I think it's very justified. I really do hope it will go through, because it'll send a message to other people, and I'm definitely going to go find that website, and I'm going to start sharing it on social media. Thanks for what you've done to make this go forward.
Well, thank you. It's GoFundMe, and type in the search Justice for Trudeau and SNC-Lavalin, SNC-Lavalin. That'll get you to site, and every penny of that is going to legal expenses. Every penny. And I've just been talking to Toronto Dominion Bank. I said, I want this set up that it's only going to legal, and I will show receipts and checks, and I will account for every penny of that, because I'm not in this for money or fame or anything. I just want justice. I'm not concerned. I'm 63 years old, and I'm not concerned about consequences to me.
Absolutely. Amen.
I'm concerned about my grandchildren and your grandchildren and I'm concerned about the slippery slope that Canada is going down. And I remember Venezuela being rich. Like, they were richer than Canada. And look at them now.
Yep.
You know, would it take 10 years? And that can happen to Canada.
Well, all I can say, Norman, you being a former firefighter, a man willing to lay down his life for another human being, speaks volumes of who you are and where your heart is right now. I feel that. I know that everybody that I'm involved right now feels the same way, that we're fighting right now, a fight that we cannot lose. And I applaud you, sir, for your courage and what you're doing. You are embracing, you are empowering people right now, my friend. You're showing people that we have a power in our hands and we can embrace it and we can make change with that power. So I applaud you.
Thank you. I've got 800 years of history behind me. You know, going back to the Magna Carta, 1215 at Runnymede, just outside of London, where they cornered King John and they forced him to sign the Magna Carta, saying no one is above the law. The king is not above the law. And that is what my prosecution is based on. And, you know, it's funny that it takes a fireman to do a cop's job because the cops are too scared.
Absolutely. Well, we're down, guys, to the last 3 minutes of the show. I'm going to let John have a few closing comments. I love what he's doing and the information he's sharing with people. Thanks for joining me today, John, and a few closing comments from you, buddy.
Yeah, I would just want to reiterate that Bernier's supporters come from every party. Only half of them come from the Conservatives, 23 from the Liberal, 14 from the NDP. And if you put that and you apply that to the polls right now, and if everybody knew and we pulled those kind of percentages out of the polls, they would win with 31%, a minority, but 31%. And if we got half of the non-voters who are tired of the corruption to know about this great party, that's an additional 16%. And so we would have 46% in the House. 10 people in a riding tell convince 4 people, and then they do 4 people the next week. You end up going from 10 people to 60,000 aware supporters in time for October 21st. So I hope you can use my website and see this all in video to be encouraged, and then just go do it.
Thanks, man. Much appreciated for that information. It's inspiring for sure. And we need this change, folks. I have last words from you there. Norman, thanks for joining me today and sharing that information. It's inspiring.
Well, thank you. Justice for Trudeau and SNC-Lavalin in GoFundMe.com. And please donate, because I want to hire the best lawyers money can buy to bring this guy down.
Buddy, if I was a millionaire, you'd be getting half of it right now, but I'm not, so I'll do what I can. Thanks for joining me, Norman. Really appreciate
that. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
And thanks, John, for your input today. It was much appreciated. Thanks to my first guest in the hour. Appreciated everything they shared today. It's been a lot of fun. I enjoyed this show immensely today. Got to talk to some really cool people with some really good ideas. So another week's gone, guys. Thanks for joining me today. And I'll be back next week, same time, same place. I hope you all have a great week. And God bless you all. And bye for now.